Now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where we will get to the great and polarizing question of vote by mail. I don't understand why it should be so divisive, but a leading and deeply respected voice on Fox News, yes, the conservative side of things, says, hey, the big gainers, if we go to an all vote by mail system, will be Republicans. Really? We will get to that. First off, the favorite analogy for lots and lots of people, including Joe Biden, including Donald J. Trump, including Vice President Pence, for the coronavirus pandemic is World War II. That we have to beat this like World War II. We have to come together and we have to rally the country in the same way. And Jeff Greenfield, who's one of the smartest guys out there. He's an award-winning television journalist, was with CBS News for years and years and years. He's also a best-selling author of a number of indispensable books about American politics and American culture. He has a piece at Politico with the headline, "No, the COVID fight isn't like World War II, and that's bad news." Jeff, a pleasure speaking to you again, and I trust you and your family are safe.
We are safe, thank you. If you have to be someplace in this condition, Santa Barbara, California is not a bad place to be. But it's all relative, you know. It's just so unusual and so unprecedented. That's part of what I was getting at in that piece, but I'll leave it to you.
No,
to
of course. But the right question for me is this. I agree with your piece emphatically. I mean, every word, I think the piece is brilliant, and we have posted it at our website at michaelmedved.com. What you say is the big difference with World War II is we came out of World War II much stronger than we came in, despite the loss of 400,000 American lives as battlefield casualties. Our economy was stronger. Our national sense of coherence and equality and bonding and identity and world leadership was stronger. What? Nobody expects that we're going to come out of this and America. Well, I know the president says that, but it's going to take the economy a long time to recover, probably longer than a couple of months. The divisions in the country seem more stark than ever before. The economic inequality nobody assumes is going to go away. It was greatly reduced by World War II. What could the president or other leaders do, Jeff Greenfield, to make sure that we come out better?
The first thing to recognize, I think, is that part of the conditions make it much tougher. That is, one of the things about World War II was, even though every American male was subject to the draft, there were hundreds of thousands of deaths and injuries, the country was safe, protected by two oceans. Nobody felt scared about going out. In fact, there was an enormous amount of war bond rallies and people crowded into movie theaters and nightclubs and restaurants. So that's the first thing. This is a much more terrifying thing for more people than World War II, where you might have had a son, a brother, a husband, a father in the army, and you were certainly worried. But the country wasn't in a situation where people had to be locked up. Second, as you said, the war actually ended what was left of the Depression. The massive mobilization started in 1940. Meant that there was virtually no unemployment. The unemployment rate in the last 3 years of World War II was under 2%. Everybody who wanted a job, more or less, could get a job. And you also mentioned, because of the nature of how it was paid for, the very rich paid an effective tax of 60%, whereas today you still have an ideology that says what we need to do is cut taxes. You may have seen the story that the richest sliver of Americans in the last 3 months have increased their net worth by about $500 billion because of what's happened on the market. So that was different. The whole notion of shared sacrifice was a reality back then. And I would point out one other thing. Can you imagine Donald Trump bringing into his cabinet Madeleine Albright and Tim Kaine, the vice presidential candidate of the Democratic Party? That's what Roosevelt did. He brought a Republican Secretary of State in, and he brought the vice presidential candidate of the Republican Party into his cabinet to increase the sense of bipartisanship. And the contrast here is when the first stimulus bill was signed at the White House, Trump only invited Republicans to it. And that's partly because of an enormously polarized country. So the people who try to make equations between this and World War II just don't understand what World War II was like for you know, the millions of Americans here at home.
Yeah, and what you're talking about what Roosevelt's decision, and he brought in Henry Stimson to be Secretary of State and Frank Knox to be Secretary of the Navy, not to be Secretary of State, to be Secretary of War. He had been Secretary of State under Hoover. He brought those guys in before the war because we were in a dangerous moment. In terms of that kind of gesture, one of the things that people have been talking about, and I know I don't want to get into playing the speculation game, but even the possibility of President Trump or Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, going to a nonpartisan ticket, that's not even conceivable in this environment. People have said, what if Joe Biden picked Nikki Haley?
That's
conceivable today, is it?
It's beyond a fantasy for a lot of reasons, one of which is that the parties are so divided that if Biden were to do that, you know, his base would revolt. And Trump has made it very clear for 3.5 years. It's quite striking. He has no interest in expanding his base. There has not been anything remotely indicating, not just in this election season, but for 3.5 years. As I said, you know, if you're claiming that we're facing an unprecedented crisis, and then you sign a bill to fix it, and you don't invite your own party, that's not much of a gesture. And I don't think the Democrats would stand for that. There are too many divisions. There's too much feeling that the other party, we've seen this in public opinion polls, is not just wrong, but malevolent. And that's a bipartisan feeling. That's how Democrats feel about Republicans and Republicans feel about Democrats. One of the things that's striking about going back to 1940, just before the war started, was the Republican nominee for president who ran against Roosevelt's third term, Wendell Willkie, at a critical moment, backed Roosevelt in peacetime selective service when most of the Republican Party was much more isolationist. It cost him a lot of support in his own party. But here was Wilkie in the middle of a campaign against Roosevelt saying, no, I think he's right about this. And then right after the election, he became one of Roosevelt's most important allies in terms of mobilization and fighting the war. That's just inconceivable today. So you add all those things together, and let me add to the fact that back then, because labor unions were so much stronger than they are now, something like a third of the workforce was organized. Even though they couldn't get higher wages because there were wage price controls, they did get from their employers health benefits. That's where employer-based health care began in World War II. And you had a much more equality-driven sense of public policy across both parties the rich have to pay more.
The one thing that you can hope for is World War II, of course, had a very clear end. Let us hope for a clear and clean ending to this pandemic. Speaking with Jeff Greenfield, thank you for your contribution. We posted his column at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
Okay, here's something totally free, no obligation, no exchange of money of any kind or of anything else of value other than your time and your interest and your imagination. Just sign up for the MedHead newsletter. This is free. It costs nothing. Go to michaelmedved.com. The newsletter comes out every Friday. Today, I think we have a total of 5 new movie reviews in the newsletter. They're posted right to it, plus commentaries and some of the most important articles and columns that we have used on the show, and much more. It costs nothing. Go to michaelmedved.com and join the literally tens of thousands of people all across the country who are part of our MedVed subscription list on the newsletter. Let me first of all take this opportunity, after having criticized Joe Biden for, yet another stunning gaffe. How could he do that? Say, if you don't vote for me over Donald Trump, then you ain't black, he says to a black interviewer. It's a problem for him. And let me, with all humility, acknowledge a mistake that I made yesterday, which is I stated something that was just flat out wrong. And I'm embarrassed by it, but I'll own it. I said yesterday that since we moved here in 1996 to the Seattle area, and I said we've always had vote by mail. And my wife immediately corrected me. After the show, unfortunately. That's simply not true. We got vote by mail. The beginning of getting vote by mail here was 2005 after a very unusual and unusually close gubernatorial campaign. And then we got vote by mail completely statewide in every county in the state in 2011. So it's been 9 years. Now, my argument, I think, still holds, which is that as recently as 2014, Republicans in the state of Washington controlled the state Senate. And that's pretty remarkable. For people who say that Republicans will never win again if we have vote by mail, consider that. Consider the fact that in most states where Republicans are hopeless, it has nothing to do with the mechanism of voting. It has to do with the Republican Party and some of the directions Republican Party has taken very mistakenly. And it's all over the West Coast. Republicans are not any more competitive in California, where they don't have statewide vote by mail. If anything, we're less competitive in California than anywhere else. They were less competitive in California than we are in Oregon or Washington, where we do have vote by mail. And I had a caller yesterday, Lynn from Portland, Oregon, who was feeling what I think a lot of Republicans feel, which is, hey, once upon a time, we used to compete in elections. We actually used to win elections. In California, they had a Republican governor as recently as a few years ago, named Schwarzenegger, and he won in 2 landslides. And and before that, you had all kinds of Republican governors in California named Reagan and Duke Majan and Pete Wilson. And now it's unthinkable because the state's become almost solely Democratic. That has nothing to do with vote by mail. In fact, Chris Wallace was on Fox, and he made the case that vote by mail actually helps Republicans. Listen.
You know, I've done some deep dive in it. There really is no record of massive fraud or even serious fraud from mail-in voting. It's being carried out in Republican states. It's being carried out in Democratic states. There's no indication that mail-in voting as opposed to in-person voting tends to favor one party over another. If anything, it tends to favor Republicans because the people, now we're talking about outside a pandemic, who historically have tended to vote most often by mail, are elderly people, people over 65, and they tend to vote more Republican than Democratic. So, you know, have there been some cases? Yes. And there's an issue sometimes with what's called vote harvesting, where instead of mailing in your ballot, that you'll get people who will go into a community and vacuum up, collect all the ballots, say they're going to take them in. And then the danger, of course, is that they will discard the ballots from neighborhoods that they think are going to vote for the other party. We've seen that in North Carolina. There was a big case involving a Republican who did that, and it helped a Republican win the election. It was so serious they had to have a new election. It's happened sometimes in California. But when people get their ballots and mail them in themselves, no history of fraud at all.
That's Chris Wallace. I think the argument that this could help Republicans is very real, because particularly when you talk about rural voters who tend to be overwhelmingly Republican, especially you're talking about November, if you have to travel a ways to get to a polling place and then maybe wait in the cold, it's so much easier to just mail the ballot in. And the other aspect of this, and I think it's very important, is I think one of the reasons people are discouraged from voting today generally is because the ballots are so long and they have so much stuff on it that you're not really prepared to fill out. You come to a voting booth, you see a ballot with 26 different races on it, including judicial races and precinct committee officers. And you just don't know what to do. And what you can do at home is you can look at the voter booklet. You can take your time. You don't have to be hurried. And I think the allergy to vote by mail is mistaken and misguided. I got a good letter on this. I got a number of good emails, but this is one that came in from Michael. And Michael says, love your show, listen for years, but you're wrong about vote by mail. Don't feel bad. Almost everyone is wrong about it because they haven't thought about it this way. The voting booth affords privacy and secrecy and potentially voter ID, proof that it's really you. When you pull that curtain in the voting booth, you're free to vote your conscience. No one can influence you and no one will ever see your ballot. But when you allow people to vote by mail, privacy and secrecy are jeopardized. For example, with vote by mail, you have no idea if I forced my wife to fill out the ballot the way I wanted her to. Well, that's a deeper issue. I actually enjoy talking with my wife about how we are filling out our ballots. But that's us. We will be right back on the MedVet Show. 1-800-955-1776.
Your outlet for outrage.
I'm not going to take this anymore.
The Michael Medved Show. Your cultural crusader. This is the Michael Medved Show.
Talking about the great vote by mail controversy. It honestly should not be a great controversy. There are already five states in the union that have vote by mail, and none of them are thinking about changing it. Arguably the most Republican state in the union, Utah, has vote by mail. Hasn't handed that state to the Democrats, thank goodness, and won't. The most Democratic state in the union, which is Hawaii at the moment. Hawaii, they don't even have a Republican member of the state Senate. But it has vote by mail. So vote by mail works fine for Republicans in Utah. It works fine for Democrats in Hawaii. And then there is a swing state, well, what used to be a swing state, it's been tilting more Democratic, which is Colorado. And we have Washington and Oregon that also do vote by mail. So basically, you have a mixed bag. And the idea that this is the end of the Republican Party, there may be the end of the Republican Party, but I think you have to look much deeper than the way that we vote. It's the kind of leadership we promote. Let us go to your calls to Ron in Woodinville, Washington. You're on the Michael Medved Show. Hi, you're on. I'm well.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for taking the call. I love you, Michael. I'd say you're completely wrong on this. You gave an example of you liking to talk to your wife about the voting.
Yeah.
Well, you can still do that when you vote at the polls. You can sit there, go through your pamphlet. And let me give you a real-life example of
Well, not when you're inside the voting booth. I don't think you're allowed to bring stuff with you.
Certainly not at the time of. But let me give you a real-life example. My son was in Iraq. And his ballot came to the house. And they had a son in college. His ballot came to the house. My mom was in a adult living facility, and her ballot came to the house. And I could easily have voted for four people, including myself. Very easy if I had a something of bad motives. Let's see, that's one thing. I think there is a lot of fraud that it can lead to. Another thing would be things happen in the weeks when you get your ballot and the time of election. Some controversy can come out that would make you want to change your vote, even on the day before the election. And I also
We talked about that yesterday. But the difficulty is that, okay, let's say that we got rid of vote by mail in Washington and we went back to the situation where you had to ask for an absentee ballot. If you ask for an absentee ballot and you still, chances are, going to send it in early. And part of the reason that your argument, I mean, in other words, your argument, which I think is a right argument, you should wait as long as possible to send that ballot in. The other disadvantage of vote by mail is it takes forever to get the results. You very rarely are going to have those results right on election night. But that also means you'll have a better count when it comes. In other words, I think it's very bad for our republic that we have races like we had in our state in 2004 with Dino Rossi and Christine Gregoire, where literally it's weeks and weeks and weeks, and you don't know who won the election. And presumably, I think one of the reasons that race helped push the state toward vote by mail was making sure you don't have the same kind of problems with provisional ballots. You know about provisional ballots? Do you know? Well, what that is, Ron, is that if somebody comes to the polling place and they're not registered or they're not on the list, they can fill out a ballot anyway. And there are many states where they have pushed to have same-day registration. And you can't do same-day registration if you're doing vote by mail. It's much less, it has to be much more intentional. And that aspect of fraud, which is available to people when you have polling places, I think is cut back on. It's one of those things where I think a lot of people look at this and they wonder, why are Republicans so afraid of this? And again, it seems to me that the evidence and people who have looked at this, yes, vote fraud exists. Yes, there are hundreds of people who are not citizens who vote illegally, and probably there would be some who voted even with vote by mail. But that is just as likely to happen with polling place elections. I appreciate your call, Ron, and thanks for it. Let me go to the prediction by James Carville, who doesn't have any doubt at all about what is going to happen in the election. And James Carville, always colorful, he has kind of emerged as a somewhat more moderate Democrat, but he was on the Stuttering John podcast. And here's what he said about the certain outcome of the election. Listen.
He's going to get his ass beat. All right, that's what's going on. He's going to get his fat ass beat. All right, now, the question is by how much? If we want to go do this lethargic kind of stuff and blah, 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 and worry about this, we can get 290, 295 electoral votes and we'll change nothing. If we go and take it to him and talk about what a massive fat failure he is, then we can run away with this thing. And you can defeat, it's not, idea is not just to defeat Trump. You have to defeat Trumpism. You have to defeat the idea that the United States of America is a place and not an idea. And we're all fighting, and it's white people fighting against non-white people and men fighting against women and, I don't know, gay people fighting against non-gay people. It's all bullshit. And it's just, call him on it. The country does not want him back.
Okay, we'll see about that, Mr. Carville. Part of the problem is it's not just a yes or no vote on Trump. You have to vote for somebody. And Biden being out there, is Trump really going to get his butt beat, like Carville says, when he's calling for raising taxes in the middle of a pandemic? This is from an interview that Joe Biden gave to CNBC. Listen. Number nine.
I just wanted to clear up one more thing for sure. So you're on record. You would repeal the Trump tax cuts immediately and then raise taxes even further right away, even if the economy is still in the midst of this pandemic. Would you do that if elected?
I would repeal the $2 trillion tax cut for the folks who are making over $1 million a year, because it's demonstrated very little or no growth.
Corporations?
I would say... The corporate tax rate, I'd move back to what I had proposed at 28%.
Okay.
What we had proposed at 28%.
Okay, he's talking about raising taxes. He's also apparently, the breaking news, he has apologized for the Charlemagne the God comment. And we will also talk about somebody who doesn't even care about those apologies, a very prominent columnist who says, "I'd vote for Joe Biden if he boiled babies and ate them. He wasn't my candidate, but taking back the White House is that important." Who said that? We'll get to that and more coming up on the Michael Medved Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
Take a look at my record, man.
That was Joe Biden, of course, this morning in an interview with Charlemagne the God, who is a leading African-American radio host, and he has now apologized. I indicated almost 2 hours ago that he was sure to apologize. He has to apologize for this. Well, he just did. He apparently was on a call. They don't have the audio yet, or at least I don't have the audio yet. But he was on a call with the U.S. Black Chambers, Inc., and he said, I should not have been so cavalier. I've never, never, ever taken the African-American community for granted. I shouldn't have been such a wise guy. Okay, that's the beginning. He's going to have to do more apologies. The Trump campaign and some of his fellow Democrats have just jumped all over him, and appropriately on this. Unfortunately, he has a staffer who formerly worked for Bernie Sanders. She worked for Bernie Sanders in 2016, Simone Sanders, who's African-American. And she said that Vice President Biden has spent his career fighting alongside and for the African-American community. And she said his comments this morning were in jest. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Harris Faulkner of Fox News, who is African-American, of course, she said, you don't have to be any particular race to know when someone puts you down because you're different. And Tim Scott, we played some of what he said. He said, I've been black for 54 years. I was struck by the condescension and the arrogance. I could not believe my ears that he would stoop so low. And Katrina Pearson, who is a Trump campaign advisor, also identifies as African-American, she said that the exchange between Biden and Charlemagne was the very definition of white privilege, with an older white man, quote, telling a young black man how to be black. Trump's Twitter account, of course, posted clips of Fox News host Harris Faulkner and of Senator Tim Scott, and perfectly appropriate. This is a major, major campaign gaffe. And will it have an impact in November? Will it have an impact in November? No. But it should have an impact right now. Because, again, Katha Pollitt, who is way, way, way out on the left, said for The Nation magazine, she said, I would vote for Joe Biden if he boiled babies and ate them. Well, he hasn't done that. It's probably an unfortunate statement to make. He wasn't my candidate, but taking back the White House is that important. I don't know. To reach for that particular analogy, that's problematic, it seems to me. And there is so much that is deeply, deeply problematic about this. And yeah, Joe Biden has another problem. I got a rather remarkable email that came in. I want to share it with you. It's from Brian in Eastern Oregon. And Brian, listening to us in Eastern Oregon, says, Michael, I should be in bed right now. However, something has been bothering me for a while that I would like to share with you. I'm a MedHead member. Well, thank you very much. By the way, you can be a MedHead member too. It costs 11 cents a day. Go to michaelmedved.com. Okay, sign up as a MedHead. You know the drill. In any event, he says, I'm a MedHead member and usually listen to your show in the evening and have been unable to call in on the Tara Reid issue when you've talked about it. I want to state that I fully believe something inappropriate did happen between her and Biden. As to the actual severity of that encounter, I won't speculate. About a year ago, when people, including Nancy Pelosi, were talking about Biden's inappropriate behavior and touching with women, I started having flashbacks to my past. This is a guy, remember. This is Brian. He says, I was sexually molested as a child. The abuser would always approach me from behind, perhaps place his hands on my shoulders or on my stomach like a, hey, we're good buddies, or I'm your kind father figure type of a gesture prior to his groping. When I exposed this man's behavior, it was met with excessive pushback and disbelief because he was a very prominent figure in our small town, an outstanding religious man and my scoutmaster. When I watch videos of Biden walk up behind someone and touch them, it gives me the chills. When I see the reaction of that touch, I think, I know that feeling. When I see prominent people, I'm looking at you, Alyssa Milano, say, this is not Joe Biden that I know, I think that's what they said about my abuser. I am not going to accuse Biden of being an abuser, molester, or rapist, says Brian. He says, I can and will say that Joe Biden has a predatory personality, and that's enough. I fully believe he will use his position of trust and get what he wants. I strongly believe Biden did make some kind of an advance on Tara Reid, perhaps not to the extent that Tara said it was, but enough that he shouldn't be in public office anymore. Okay, the one thing I was thinking about last night, and I spoke to my wife about it, and it's just, someone I am sure is working on a Tara Reid documentary film now, because it's one of those things where the focus of that film should be the unbelievable hypocrisy of so many Democrats who, for much lesser charges, were willing to try to destroy Brett Kavanaugh. For much lesser charges, were willing to try to destroy Clarence Thomas, who has gone on to a great career on the Supreme Court. And people should watch the that new documentary, Created Equal, which is outstanding. But take a look at some of those Democrats. Take a look at some of that background. And then look at the way the Democrats are responding on this Biden issue. I've never had, thank God, the experience that Brian describes, which is nightmarish. But it is very, very serious. And to ignore it, to allow Joe Biden to go forward, and I don't think he's a bad guy. I suspect he's not a bad guy. Seems to have a nice family life. I don't know about his son. But I know that his campaign is in deep, deep trouble. Because the one thing that he has going for him, and this is what he's tried to do from the beginning of the campaign. This is a battle for the soul of America, he was saying. And he was trying to contrast himself as a nice guy, as an honest guy, as a straight guy with Trump. And I know the Biden campaign, and I've heard them say this. They always say it without attribution. They don't feel that the Tara Reid thing is going to be a serious problem for them because there's all that stuff on Trump. And people could bring it up and maybe will again. And the 12 women who have accused Donald Trump of misbehavior of various kinds, ranging from the trivial to the very, very serious. It's problematic, but that would be terrible for our politics. And to have the American people asked to choose. Now, let's see, who is the more serious abuser of women? Is that a basis for choosing a president? It's not, and it shouldn't be. And this should not be an issue in this campaign. There are major issues about the direction of the country. We'll talk about some of those issues coming up with Mark Leibovich, who's going to be talking a little bit about the campaign for vice president. Right now, there's something unusual in all of American history that is happening in that campaign, which is women, and it's only women, campaigning openly to be Joe Biden's running mate. You know what part of that is? I think part of it is wondering whether he makes it to the finish line in November, aside from the question of whether he crosses that finish line with a winner's badge. We'll also be talking about three movies ranging from, well, mediocre to pretty darn wonderful in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.